But right now we go to the Revolution Hotline, where last night the former lead singer, by the way, of Cinderella lit it up, apparently, or so my wife tells me. She was there in attendance representing. So maybe we'll get her to call in with a review. But Jeff Money Taylor joining us. Yeah. The Preakness is tomorrow, my man.
It is. It is. Once upon it, the middle jewel, of course, of the Triple Crown, and all eyes turned toward all of the convincing winner of the Kentucky Derby. I'm still kicking myself. You try not to be too regretful in our business, but I knew he was the best horse in the Derby and tried to get cute and beat him with Palace Malice, who for some inexplicable reason elected to go out and set the suicidal fraction. Just set the stage up for Orb. And, Justin, we've got a saying in the business, you know, I missed the wedding, do I want to go to the funeral? Meaning Orb is going to be much shorter in price from a wedding standpoint tomorrow. And I'm going to stay with him. It's more maybe wishful thinking than anything, because the industry could certainly use a Triple Crown winner. And I feel like Orb has probably the best chance to do so in quite a few years, despite being two-thirds of the way through the Triple Crown with some previous horses the last decade or so. Orb looks the part to me to maybe be the best chance since the long drought started back in 78. With a firm. But having said that, start looking maybe for some vertical bet horses that I think are going to run well enough to maybe kick the exact or the trifecta at a decent price. And I go to Oxbow in this spot, Jessica, not only because I'm a little prejudicial, he's an Oaklawn horse, and we followed Oaklawn horses throughout the course of the year, but I thought his race in the Derby was pretty doggone good. He drew the very dreadful number one post position out of 20. That's a huge handicap to overcome, but he was right there, made a nice little move in the third quarter, which I think was the fourth fastest three-quarter internal fraction in Derby history, and there's been 140 of them. And Oxbow, I thought, held on pretty well to finish sixth. So he's going to be the key to my exotics tomorrow. Orb on top. We'll go Oxbow for second. Much has been said about the number four horse in the race departing. Third place finisher in the Louisiana Derby, a race that in retrospect has turned out to be the key prep in this spring series for three-year-olds. I think the second, third, and fifth place finishers in the Kentucky Derby all exited the Louisiana Derby, departing past the Kentucky Derby, instead did his share to validate the Louisiana Derby with his third place finish into a win in the Illinois Derby. That's coming on April the 20th. The party comes in here a little fresher than some of these Derby horses, and I think he gets a part two. So my three picks, Orb on top, Oxbow, and the
point. Yeah, you know, I read something in the Wall Street Journal today, and basically, and I'm way, way over paraphrasing here, but the bottom line is for them, they're not guaranteeing he's going to win the Preakness, but they're saying if he does, he's probably going to take the Triple Crown.
Yeah, because I think the Belmont has to come up extremely light. I think there's half of the seat that's facing tomorrow. Only two eight opponents for the Preakness, down considerably from the 20 that went to
Jeff.
Derby.
Jeff, we're having a hard time understanding you. I'm sorry. I don't know
Sorry. Yeah, it may be maybe my phone here.
There we go.
In the metal set,
that's better.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. I'm leaning toward the window. But, I agree. I think if the time to get him is going to be tomorrow versus the Belmont, because the field in the Belmont will be very, very short. No really heavy hitters sitting on the sidelines. And, again, I think the connections maybe of my loot think they're going to get a chance with Tom Amos. But they get him tomorrow, or I think he wins a Triple Crown. And I think they're quietly confident again, knowing Shug McGee, he's the trainer of Orb, as most of us industry people do for 30 years. He is quietly confident. He's a consummate horseman, and he likes his chances, so I got to like their chances.
A couple of horses that skipped the Kentucky Derby that are running now, and you mentioned departing. Titletown 5 is a horse that we heard a lot about in the early going at Oaklawn before they really got into the meat of the schedule. And Titletown 5 certainly did not live up to the billing, but they are going to run him in the Preakness. It's a Dwayne Lucas trained horse. And, of course, you got the Paul Horning, Willie Davis, Packer great tie. That's why I guess it really caught our attention out of the gate. But what happened there? What went wrong with Titletown 5? I mean, or is this just that's the story of the game?
Well, we see it quite a bit, Justin. You see the big, muscular, early-to-develop two-year-olds, and they just don't turn the corner at age three.
That was me.
Yeah, that was me, too. I was an early bloomer versus a late one in athletics, for sure. But very much so. I mean, it's, physically, I think some of the other horses that maybe weren't up to Titletown's caliber last year caught up to him from a physical standpoint. And you have to understand that the rigors of the game changes as you get older. As a two-year-old, you're mostly going shorter distances. The distances get longer, more demanding as a three-year-old. Sometimes the body keeps up and sometimes it doesn't. And I think that's true in all athletics. And Titletown 5, unfortunately, looks to be an early bloomer. He's going to be part of the pace picture tomorrow. He is quick enough, I think, to do at least that. But he just hasn't finished. We saw it really in his coming out party, the Gazebo Stakes, the 6 furlong stake that he was even money in there at Oaklawn and early in the meeting. I had to settle for second that afternoon to a horse, quite frankly, that wasn't in his class level at the time, King Henny. And Titletown 5 has done nothing but really regress since then. He was 3-1 in the Derby trial. His last gasp effort to try to get enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby, that was on April the 27th. Once again, disappointed after being within striking distance. He just didn't finish up. To be honest with you, I just don't think he's the colt that we all thought he could have been after being so impressive as a two-year-old.
What's more shocking, Todd Pletcher having five horses in the Derby or having none now in the Preakness?
Well, I think it's a big testament to the respect that he has for the connections of Orb. Todd has obviously won a lot of races through the years. He's not a young man anymore. He knows what he sees, and I thought really he would bring at least one or two to this party, but he probably saw enough, as most of us did, with Orb's finish in the Kentucky Derby, that it was kind of be an exercise in futility. We all may be proven wrong tomorrow, the bettors included. He'll be even money, Orb, or even less than that, one of the shortest price favorites we've had in the Preakness in quite some time. But again, that's a testament to how good Orb potentially could be. I don't think he's reached his peak yet, and that's saying something, as busy as he's been this year. But he's very professional. I don't think the Derby took too much out of him. And if, I let other people kind of do my thinking for me at times, the quiet confidence of Shug McGahee and the fact that Pletcher does not elect to go in here, and he's still got 6 or 7 3-year-olds that do fit this spot, maybe in previous years, but not this year with Orb.
Okay, one last question. It's my lucky day. I think pretty well regarded as a speed horse, a 10-to-1 shot on the morning line. Coming from the outside, any thoughts of maybe him sneaking in there?
He's got a shot. I mean, it's a third start off a layoff. He took a good part of the spring off to freshen up for the rigors maybe of the Triple Crown and the Florida Derby, which he finished a good solid second in. The pace is going to shake out, I think, maybe a little quicker than some people think. I do see J.R. Velasquez, who took off Orb in a much publicized story. He had the option of riding Verrazano or Orb in the Kentucky Derby. He elected for the undefeated Verrazano in a debated decision, obviously. Now it looks like it was terrible. So no one's going to be trying harder than Mr. John Velasquez on board It's My Lucky Day to beat his nemesis Orb tomorrow. But whether he has a horse or not, I don't really know. I think he deserves maybe a little bit of benefit of the doubt. He didn't take to the sloppy going in the Kentucky Derby. I don't think it affected the outcome that much, but he is one horse that just really didn't look comfortable. The 15th place finish, he got beat 22 lengths, a lot further than really it realistically was, because he was just wrapped up on. He was not going to persevere that day. So he gets another chance, and it's a good subplot there with Mr. Velasquez going after Orb again. But I just think everybody's running for second tomorrow, Justin. I hate to sound too confident, because that's really when you get in trouble with this business. But Orb is going to be tough to beat.
Well, I hope you're right. Again, we were just talking about great stories, and for us, the story is a horse that's got a chance. So that's going to require an Orb win this weekend. So we'll see how it shakes out. Jeff, we appreciate the time as always.
Okay, Justin, my pleasure, and we'll talk to you in 3 weeks before the Belmont.
Very good. All right, appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks.
Goodbye.
And, of course, Jeff Taylor, very busy down in Louisiana, where he makes his home after the end of the Oaklawn season. We've been talking about the Mitch Mustaine film that will be part of the Little Rock Film Festival going on this weekend. Matt Wolf joining us in studio, along with Phil Elson. The identity theft of Mitch Mustaine. If you have any questions or comments,